All right. Lord, we just thank you so much. Glory be to God. What an awesome day it was today, Lord. Thank you for those pretty blue skies and keeping those planes out of them. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that tonight's the night. We're going to see happenings from you, Lord. I believe that. I believe you're wanting to pour out your gifts upon us, Lord. And all we have to do is just believe that you're going to do it. And I thank you for it, Father. Praise you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. Fill us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit so much so that there's nothing left but you, Lord. And all of us are gone and nothing left but Jesus. Lord, I just praise you and I glorify you for all the prayers that you've answered for us and all the ones that are being answered even as we speak. Thank you for an open heaven tonight. And I thank you for your Spirit leading us, guiding us into the things you want us to talk about, Lord. And I praise you for it. And I ask that you bless everybody here, Lord, and those that are listening as well. And I thank you, Lord, for doing all the work. And all we have to do is just believe that you're putting those righteous robes on us. Blinding, shining robes of the bride. And I thank you for it. Lord, give us the faith to believe that wherever one of us is going to be in it. In Jesus' name. And I praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for all that's accomplished in your name tonight. Thank you, Lord, for everybody that came in tonight, and bless them mightily, Lord. Bless them mightily. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that's just doing his thing amongst us, Lord. And I thank you for your angels that are doing the things that we ask them to do. When we pray, we know they're off and running. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you're protecting these men and women that go down into these tunnels and to bring out these children and to root out the evil people down there. I thank you for your protection upon each and every one of them, Lord, that not one other person from this special ops force gets hurt or killed from this point on, because we're going to be diligent in our prayers for them. We thank you for your protection all around about them, Lord, that the enemy would be rooted out, pulled out of there, and justice would be served. We praise you for, Lord, for doing this for these men and women that go down there and rescue these thousands and thousands and thousands of children. Actually, millions. Thank you, Father, for doing that. And I ask and I pray, Father, that you have people up here, Christian people up here, to minister to these children. Some of them are generational down there, Lord. Never seen the light of day. Never seen the light of day. And I know that you can instantaneously clean all that junk out of them and make them normal in you, Lord. And I know that you can do that. And I ask, Father, that you put good Christian men and women around these children to do the praying and interceding for them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that. And Lord, I don't know what's going to be happening in the next few days. I know that earthquakes are ramping up all over the world. And I know it's for a reason. And I thank you, Lord, for protecting your chosen across the world, Lord. But putting them in places of safety, Lord, as these things take off. And I praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, give us words to speak tonight, everybody here, that you would have us to talk about, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay. Some of you probably already know it, but they had down in the deep underground military base that's underneath Washington, D.C., they blew up a, had a suicide bomber come in there and kill some of the special op forces as they were trying. They let on like they were surrendering, and then they blew these people up. And that's why his flag is flying at half mast at Mar-a-Lago. Trump was flying it at half mast for these people. It's just sickening the place that these people go to get their way. You know, they don't mind killing a bunch of folks. They don't mind. But we pray, and I believe. All right, got any prayer requests now? Anybody else want to pray on any of these subjects? Perfectly welcome to go ahead and do it. Anybody got a prayer request? Anybody got a testimony? Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
Well, I have a prayer request and a testimony. I'm leaving tomorrow morning to go see my family, and the Lord put it in my heart to go and spend the afternoon on Saturday with my sister, and he lined it all up. I mean, he opened all the doors up, so I knew it was him. So praise the Lord. And then I'm gonna see my mom and dad, and I'm praying I get to see Matt and Meg and my other son. I always stay with Kurt and Brooke and the baby Blake. So Father, I just ask for a safe trip there and back, Lord, and a blessed time, Lord. I know this is you, so I just thank you, Lord, for just directing everything that I do and everything that I say while I'm there. And I ask you to go before me and open hearts and minds to receive whatever it is you would have me to say. I have no agenda, but Lord, it would be pretty cool if something major happened, you know, like some news, things be known or whatever might happen while I was there, that, you know, would be a good way to open up some conversation and be able to share what you're doing, Lord. And so anyway, Lord, and I ask, Lord, that I would get to see Matt and Megan, Lord, that you would put it in their hearts, Lord, to want to see me while I'm there. And I just cast down all factious spirits in my family, especially Matt and Megan, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just ask you to soften them up towards me. And would you just, particularly Matt, you know, I'm his mom, and let him just be determined that he's going to see his mom and not have hard feelings or anything. Just put forgiveness in both their hearts, Lord, for whatever it is they have against me, Lord. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord. And I ask for good gas mileage and good running vehicle, and bless my and Kurt and Brooks working together to do their floor, Lord, that it all go well and smooth. And I just praise you and thank you for my time there. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for a good time with Missy yesterday, this weekend, and her family.
And then I had one of them stupid headaches. It was coming on me last night, and Naomi was trying to tell me it was because you were cleaning and you've been doing things here lately, and you're not as young as you used to be, and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, So I laid down. I laid down, and it didn't help. I laid down for maybe 2 hours at the very most, and I got up and I saw that one of Timothy Dixon's videos was posted on the blog. So I started listening to that, and almost immediately I started feeling better. Let me tell you, that man has an anointing on him. I started feeling better and real quick. And by the time I got done listening to him, my headache was gone. Praise the Lord. Lord, I just ask you to bless him mightily, Lord. You're using him mightily. And I know there's others out there that you're using mightily to get the word out of what you're doing, what you're going to do, and to encourage hearts and build up faith, Lord. And I just praise you and thank you, Lord. Bless him mightily, Lord. And to use him mightily. Continue to use him mightily and keep him, Lord. Keep him, Lord, from put your angels round about him, protect him. And just pray that no weapon formed against him shall prosper. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, I guess.
I can hear y'all.
Oh, can you hear me, Michael?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
So, the other day we went over to a restaurant, and a lot of times when I go with the brothers and sisters to the restaurants, I like to take one of David's books with me. And sometimes when I see somebody that I, you know, like if it's a waitress or waiter or if it's somebody else, I like to have my phone on hand so I can ask their name and find out what it means. I like doing that because it's kind of interesting what you come up with. But anyway, I left the book in the car because I've been to that restaurant for a while and I didn't know who to give it to or anything. So I just left it in the car. And we were next to this one table. We had a bunch of us together, and it wouldn't fit us all. So there was this other table where there were some people on it, and they said, "Oh, we're almost done. We're almost done. Don't worry." And we said, "No, no, there's no rush, you know." And so anyway, it was like a few minutes later, Lynn started talking to this one sister, or I don't know if she was a sister. They talked to this one woman that was at that table. They were getting ready to go, and I don't know who started talking, but she talked about, well, we're leaving now or something. And then Leon was talking to her, and she had a mask on, and and he says, "I can't hardly hear you very much. Can you bring that mask down so I can?" She says, "Oh, thank you." She brought it down real quick, like she was glad to have it off of her face. She said, "Oh, good, thank you." And so she was talking fine. It wasn't bothering her that she didn't have the mask on or anything. And we found out that the group that she was with, they're from Florida. And right away after she took her mask down and started talking, I felt like the Lord would say, "Go out and get that book. It's for her." So I went out in the car and I got that book for her. It was God's vaccine. So, but usually I ask their name, and there wasn't much time, so I didn't get her name or anything. So, but I'd like to pray for her. Lord knows who she is. So Lord, I just lift this woman up to you and the rest of the people there that were with her. I'm not sure where they were heading, and I don't know if she originally came from Florida, but they were in Florida. So Lord, I just pray that you would just work on her heart, and maybe even the other ones that are with her, traveling with her, that they would be interested in reading it too, Lord, that you would just give them the spiritual understanding. And if they are believers, that you would be able to give them that spiritual understanding. But if they're not believers, that you would just prompt them to want to know you and want to know, start being interested in what your word says through reading that book, Lord. So thank you, Father, for bringing them in, bringing that group, even the other ones with her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And come against any demons that would try to hinder that. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, she opens that book. It's just going to open things up for her that she never realized. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
It just seemed like she was glad to have that mask off.
Oh, yeah.
And that was, I think that was the door opener for the book. The Lord said, take it to her.
Yeah.
So that was a blessing. I get blessed when I'm able to talk to somebody or, you know, find out. A lot of times when their names can mean something that would be important to God. You know, God gives us the names, our names. And sometimes I've come up with some things where their names, they mean something, and they're actually doing that, or they have done it. I know this one lady, her name was Piper. And I said, oh, did you ever, I looked her up and I said, did you ever play a flute or anything? And because that's partly what it meant. And she says, oh, I used to. And she's a believer. And she says, oh, I need to do my flute again. And I thought that was kind of neat. And this other guy, he wasn't saved, but he was willing to hear a prayer. You know, I felt drawn to pray for him. So I prayed for him, but he wasn't a believer, but I said, can I pray for you? And he says, yeah. And his name was Devin, and his name meant poet. I said, hey, did you ever do poetry before? And he says, yeah, when I was a young kid. And he was like 22. I found out he was 22, but he was really impressed. I was surprised he wanted to even pray, you know, so you never know who you're going to run across when you're out there at the restaurants. And I like that. I like doing that kind of thing. So thank you, Lord, for giving me that opportunity.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay. Anyone else? Dirk and Paula's back. Hi, y'all. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Hello, Mike. All right, everyone.
Hi, everyone.
Amen. Good to see y'all.
And you.
All right. Lord bless them out there. Get that refuge going in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? I want to pray for Dirk and Paula, as a matter of fact. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for surrounding both of them with your angels of protection and angels of provision and all the things that they're going to need, Lord. I ask that you bless them mightily. And when they pray, Lord, I ask that you talk to them. Talk to them in a way that would guide them into the ways that you, into the walk that you want them to go to, Lord, whatever it is. And I thank you for it. Father, give them wisdom and discernment, because you're going to need it. And I praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the gifts that will be in operation. And I praise you for that too, Lord, in Jesus' name. Bless them mightily, Lord, in this walk you've got them on. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.
Dirk and Paula, where did you move to, and what are you going to be doing?
I moved to Arkansas.
We moved moved to Prince Albert. It's quite a distance from where we were before. It's more to the Western Cape side, and it's in the central Karoo desert place. But yeah, we've been here now for a month, but it's going really good.
A lot of good people around y'all over there.
Yes, I have a testimony. We, last week Sunday, we went for a stroll after our meeting and early morning. And then at one stage, I told Paula, we must take a stroll down a specific road. We went in December when we came to visit here. Then that time there came we met a lady, a little Yorkshire Terrier came running out of her house, and she came to pick him up. She said she was babysitting the dog. It's her daughter's. And Paula said at that said she thinks that lady is a believer. There's just something she feels there. And so Sunday, I said, let's go walk down that specific street again, and maybe we can see that lady again. If we see her, then we know it's meant to be. If not, we just go on. And we came to her house. She has a studio, an art studio. And the board outside said it's open. And the door was standing open. And I knocked there. I rang the bell. And the lady came walking outside. She said, oh, her husband was standing there. She must take off that sign because someone's going to show up. And they're going to think the place open. She said, no, she's going to leave it. It's quiet. If someone shows up, they're supposed to show up. So then we showed up there. And but the other thing, on our way there, Paula was saying at some stage, she so once wish we could stop somewhere for a coffee and a piece of cake. But we didn't have anything on us at that moment. And the lady said, come in. She just baked some muffins and come in for a coffee. Yeah, so, and there we got to meet her and her husband, and they believe us. So it's actually the first encounters we have with believers here. Mm. So we were really glad for that. We will get to see them again. Mm. So you must pray for them as well. The name is
Johan and Sonia.
Sonia.
Good yeah. Afrikaans names. Yeah. And they moved here 2 years ago from a coastal town in Cape Town. Beautiful town, but they said that it was just it was going so hectic there now with violence in the streets and drugs and that type of thing. They lived there for 20 years. And then they just felt they needed to move, and when they saw this town, they said they're gonna settle here. So it was very interesting, yeah, talking to them, and we stayed there for a long time.
Yeah.
And talked about many things. So that was lovely.
Man, that's awesome. That is awesome. Yeah. Let me ask y'all a question. And this, I'm from Arkansas. I don't know anything about what's going on in South Africa. Do y'all talk in Afrikaner or do you talk in English?
Both.
Both.
Depends on who you talk to.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
There are a lot of English people in this town as well.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We're running across these lovely people. These lovely people. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. That's awesome. You're going to meet some more, too.
Yes, I think so. I went into the charity shop. It was when we just moved here, so it was a couple of weeks ago. And it was quite strange. In this town as well, I think the Christians are very scarce because it's a very arty town, so it tends to draw people that are quite new age and, a bit off the wall and lovely people, but not believers. That's why we were very excited when this couple turned out to be believers. But when I went to the charity shop, there was this older lady, and I greeted them and we talked a little bit, said, we're new in town, and talked about the hot weather and all of that, the mosquitoes and... And then just out of the blue, I wasn't saying anything or asking anything, just keeping a low profile. And she just looked at me and she said that, she does a lot of work at the old age home. And if I want to go and help there, I must please, let her know. And I'm like, no, I'll do that. Thank you. And I went out of there because I've never done anything like that. I've always been a bit scared. burst into tears just thinking, you know, of the old people, whatever, and everything I went through with my dad. And so I went home, and but I prayed about it, Dirk and I prayed about it, and the Lord just, he gave so many confirmations that I do need to go back to that lady and tell her that I want to be a part of it. So I went, it was yesterday, day before yesterday, and she was so happy and so excited, and turns out she's a believer too. And so that was lovely. So we could talk about the Lord a bit, and she said she'll take me on a tour, and I'll meet all the people, and just do something for them, you know, just read for them. And it was so lovely, because I said to Dirk, I would love to read the Bible and Andrew Murray to them, you know. And then she said she just said she doesn't know what to do with them, you know. She needs ideas, new ideas, and. And she said, I don't know, maybe you could read to them. I'm like, yes, I want to. So that's lovely. And maybe if we can pray for that, you know, that I won't burst into tears and just be strong. Oh, the Lord has given so many beautiful scriptures, you know, and he said that if you minister, he will give the strength to do the ministering. And he's given us beautiful scripture. I opened my Bible and I stuck my finger down, and a couple of weeks later, Dirk opened his Bible and stuck his finger down. It was on exactly the same verse, and it's 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1, where he says, we must account, they must account us as this, ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. So we were quite excited, and... yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I know what you mean about them old people. They scare me too. I'm just saying. Okay, that's great testimony. Great testimony. Thank you, Father, for leading them on. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I just ask and I pray that you show favor in this home, that Paula will be able to read the word. Matter of fact, she may be able to even play some Bible studies, and that'd be awesome, Lord. Thank you for it. Thank you for what you're going to do in this place for Paula and all the people there, in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all believe that? I believe it. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. It done deal. All right. Anyone else?
I would appreciate some prayer for my knee. It's been something that's been bothering me for several weeks now, and Greg and I have been praying over it, and I've had some friends praying over it. And so would you mind praying for my knee?
No, I don't mind. Which one?
My right knee.
Your right knee. I'll tell you what we're going to do. All of us are going to pray for you. Everybody point your finger at Gaynor's knee. Point your finger at her knee. In the name of Jesus right now, I command that knee to be healed, and I command the pain to go, and I command it to be restored as new in Jesus' name. It's going to be stronger than ever in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that Gaynor is healed, delivered, and set free by the blood of Jesus. Pain, you go now in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you she can get up and dance and grin and just have all kinds of good time in you, Lord. And we praise you for it. Amen and amen. It's done, Gaynor. It is done.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. That's right. Thank you, Lord, because you have done this healing for Gaynor. Yep. Amen. Glory be to God. Okay. Anybody else? Missy, you need prayer? Okay. You got rid of it, huh? All right. Good deal. Anybody else?
Lord got rid of it.
Go, Julie. Yeah, amen.
I'd like prayer for my left arm. You all prayed for me here a while ago, but it has never manifested. And so I would like prayer again for whatever this is that's causing limited mobility, pain, stiffness in my arm. Don't know what it is, but it has to go in Jesus' name.
You ready to receive?
Oh, praise God, yes.
Okay. Well, it's fixing to happen. I can guarantee it.
Yes, Lord.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for the authority that you've given us over all the power of the enemy. This is the enemy for Julie and us too. We command that spirit of infirmity off of her arm. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I command all feelings of pain or discomfort to go from that arm. In the name of Jesus, I command strength into that arm. In the name of Jesus, I command every muscle, every bone, every tendon, and every blood vessel, everything in there to be normal in Jesus' name. And I command that spirit out of there right now in the name of Jesus. You go from her right now in Jesus' name.
All the way. All the way. You go. All of it. Praise you, Lord.
Glory, glory, glory. And I praise you, Father, that Julie is healed right now in Jesus' name. Does everybody believe that? It's done. Thank you, Jesus. I tell you what, Julie, do something. Do this, Julie. Do this.
Do what I can't do. Right.
Do what you can't do.
Thank you, Lord, for
amen.
Taking thank it all Father. Away. Thank you, Lord, taking amen. It all away.
It's done. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord,
it's
taking
done.
It all away.
Woo-hoo. Praise
thank you, Lord,
you, Father.
Taking it all away. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord. All thank of it has Jesus. To go. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes,
thank
it does. Lord. It's gone. It is gone.
Hallelujah.
Ooh, my. Man, I don't know about you, but I feel better all over than I do anywhere else. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Anyone else? What in the world are you drinking? That purple stuff. You drinking wine in here? You better put that up. Okay. Praise God. Anybody else? Yeah. Put it back in the vat, Sue. Put it back in the vat. All right.
Michael, I was just drinking water. I'm drunk in the spirit.
Okay, sure. That's what I'd have said too. Amen. All right, so we believe you. Okay, let's see. We had a couple of verses to talk about tonight, didn't we? Yeah, let me see if I got them written down here somewhere. Mark 12 and 30. Who came up with that? Who was that? Who came up with that? Was that you, Andrew?
It's Theo.
Theo.
Theo. Theo. Theo. Is he here? He's not even here.
Alana's here.
Theo is en route from Chicago to home, so unfortunately,
oh, okay.
No.
Okay. That's okay. We can do it without him. He can hear it later, can't he?
Sure can.
Amen. Okay. We got Mark 12 and 30 and Luke 10, 27 through 28. As soon as I get it up here, I'll read them. I'll do Mark 12 and 30 first. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. That's one of them. thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And the second was Luke 10, 27 and 28. And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. Okay. I don't actually remember the question that he had. He just wanted us to go through it, didn't he? I think. Go over it. Anybody want to take a shot at it?
Okay. Michael, I'll say something.
Sure. Yeah.
I wasn't on last time. I heard things, but then they told me they were going to talk about loving the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So I didn't know it was particular verses discussed or what. So as I was praying today about it, and I heard the Lord tell me, I was asking him about, to let us know, each of us, if we need to be told by him, why is it we don't love him that way? You know, where is the stumbling block? And heard him say, leaving your first love. And so I looked up Revelation 2, it's the church of Ephesus, that he said that to. I looked it up, and I'll just read it. Revelation 2:4. First of all, I'll start at the beginning. To the angel of the church of Ephesus, in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men. And you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have lost, that you have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen, and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you and remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. So I was wondering, I think, asking the Lord about this. You said all these good things about them. You know, they persevered, they toiled with perseverance, and did not tolerate evil men, and they did not grow weary, like in weary and well-doing, and endured for his name's sake. And then I thought, how do they leave their first love? And so then what I did was just look up some things about it, about leaving your first love. And I thought it was pretty interesting. I thought that maybe perhaps God saw them, their well-doing. They're doing it before the eyes of men for the glory of self and not the glory of God. I wasn't really sure about that. So I was looking into this. So I was asking about signs for leaving our first love. And first one I got was you put our delight in people before God. Our love for God should be foremost in our hearts, exceeding the love of any other relationship. And then Mark 20:30, we love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, which is his first commandment. And then our soul stops longing for rich fellowship. This is the second sign. When our soul stops longing for rich fellowship with God, loving him as we should. Then it's Mark 12:13 again. It shall use that one. Said, because we let our minds and will and emotions wander away from the devotion to God, forsaking first place fellowship with God, our understanding of our true condition before God grows dull, and our works become enough. for us, just the good deeds. But as we, but if we spend time with God in his word and prayer, communing with him in prayer, he calls us his friends and he makes known to us what the Father reveals to him. And of course, he reveals it to us through his word. But I was just sensing that there's more steps in here. I don't want to take up all the time. And of signs of how we can lose our first love, and which is areas of not loving with our mind, whole mind, our soul, our strength. One of them was we might give excuses for things we don't do or disobey. Well, it's just human. But yet he gives us the grace to overcome, and he gives us the grace to walk in these ways we're supposed to walk in. So I thought it was very interesting. So Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to reveal to us any signs, Lord, we're losing our first love for you, Lord. We're not drawing close to you in prayer and loving to pray and passionate in prayer. Lord, I just pray you just show us that. And thank you for revealing things to me. But in all these ways, we continue in these ways, we can love you with all our hearts, soul, mind, and strength. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. That's good, Debbie. Thank you. Denny, you got anything?
Maybe later.
Okay. All right. Okay. That'd be fine. Yeah. Okay. Who's next? Thank you, Debbie. Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
Can you see my hand raised? Okay. In Mark 12, starting with 28, it says, one of the scribes came and heard them questioning together, and knowing that he had answered them well, asked him, what commandment is the first of all? Okay. It kind of goes with what Debbie said, was talking about the first love. And Jesus answered and said, the first is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And in the commandments he gave them, that was first command, thou shalt have no other God before me. You know, we're to obey the Lord our God. The Lord is one. He's one God. There is only one God. And kind of what Debbie was saying is we lose our first love and put other things or any idol, whatever that may be, before God and being obedient to him in whatever capacity that might be. Because then he goes on to say, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. That's who you are inside, your mind, your will, your emotions, and when we love God, it's being obedient to everything we know. It's with our mind, it's with our understanding, it's and with everything that we know how to obey God to do. That's what we have to do. I mean, God knows where we're at. We're not under the law anymore, but he puts his law in our heart. So when we learn right from wrong and we choose to obey God, we do it. And, you know, God knows where we're weak, but we have to go to him even in our weakness and say, Lord, help me. You know, I'm struggling here with this. My flesh is, you know, at war with the, you know, with my spirit man. And, you know, they probably, you know, the Israelites, they probably did, you know, try to do all that, you know, but how can they couldn't keep it. None of us can keep it. It's only God, Christ in us, changing us so that we can obey God and put him first and repent and believe and know that he's doing that work in us. And then Jesus goes on to say, the second is this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And there is none other commandment greater than these. And I know that, you know, this fulfills the law. Love fulfills the law in obedience, and faith worketh through love. And it's all about treating, you know, the, what is that called? The golden rule, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. You know, it's like, it's just fearing God. It all comes back to the fear of God, and obeying him with everything you know to do is right, that you know what is right and wrong, and you do what's right. And so I just think it all kind of goes down to just, you know, God working in us to overcome this flesh and being obedient to everything you know. There's really nothing else we can do. God does it in us. You know, he's given us, the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart. I can't remember where that's at, but it's the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart. He puts that in there, you know, love for him. God loved us first. And that's his love that changes us and causes us to obey him and to want to obey him. Amen. That's about all I've got for that.
Amen. That's good. Thank you. Go ahead, Sue or Judy.
Yeah, I was just thinking of that the whole phrase, you know, it says we have to love him with our whole being, really. But that word love, I looked it up, and it means agape, which is a form of agape, which is God's love. So if we can't love him without him putting that love in us, you know, even like the sister was saying, it's his love in us that causes us to love him the way that he wants us to love him. It's the agape, God's love. That's what that means. So we got to get more of his. I mean, he does give us part of his love in the beginning, you know, but we have to grow in that. We have to gain more of him. I would think that to be able to love him with our whole being. So it's just to give ourselves completely to him and let him fill us with his love. That's what I get out of that.
Amen. Thank you, son. Go ahead, Missy.
One of the first things that came to me was 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And James 4:4 is similar. It doesn't use the word love, but it says, ye adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world maketh himself an enemy of God. Because if, you know, you can't, you know, love the world, which, you know, money, where does it say about, you know, you can't serve two masters. You either love the one and hate the other, or hate the one and love the other. You know, love of man and mammon, you know, which is money or the riches of the world. So, because the ways of the world aren't God's ways. The way the world does things, you know, the world goes, uses the arm of the flesh, you know, and doesn't trust God, you know. So that's what came to me.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Go ahead, Dave.
Okay. When I started thinking about this, actually, I thought we were talking about something else, but when this came up, I was thinking about this just tonight, and really, they're quoting Deuteronomy when they're saying this. Deuteronomy chapter 6 is one of the places, because they're both going back to the Old Testament. And I'm going to read this in the whole chapter 6 so you get an idea where they're coming from when they say this. Starting at 6:1, it says, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the ordinances which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you go over to possess it, that you might fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and all his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your son's son, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Hear this, Israel, and observe and do it, that it may be well with you, that you may increase mightily as the Lord, the God, your fathers has promised to you in the land of flowing milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I command you this day shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them for a sign on your hands, and they shall be for symbols between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. It shall be when the Lord your God shall bring you into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you the good, great cities which you did not build, and houses full of good things which you did not fill, and cisterns dug out which you did not dig, vineyards and olives which you did not plant, and you shall eat and be full. Then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God, and you shall serve him only, and you shall swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods, and of the gods of the other people who are around you. For the Lord your God is in the midst of you as a jealous God, lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you, and he destroy you from the face of the earth. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you. You shall do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, that you may go in and possess the good land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to thrust out all your enemies before you, as the Lord has spoken. When your sons ask you in time to come, saying, what do the testimonies, the statutes, and the ordinances which the Lord our God has commanded you mean? Then you shall tell your son, we were Pharaoh's bondservants in the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed us great and awesome signs and wonders on Egypt, on Pharaoh and all his house before our eyes. And he brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore to our fathers. The Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as at this day. It shall be righteousness to us if we observe to do this, all this commanded before the Lord our God, as he commanded us." And then it brought me to John 14:15. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." So the love the Lord has demanded from the Israel to us today hasn't changed. And if we're going to walk holy and righteously before the Lord, we're going to do what we think is right before his eyes. We're going to keep him forefront in front of us all the time. We're going to be still seeking him diligently and trying to make sure that we're on the right path, doing that what he wants us to do. We're going to be trying to observe what he wants us to keep. We're going to be mindful of that. We're going to be always repenting and praying and asking for God's guidance and forgiveness along the way. And we're not going to neglect this great salvation the Lord has given us through Jesus Christ our Lord, and the salvation we have through his blood and the Lamb. We're going to be diligent and always trying to let our children or our family know whenever the opportunity presents itself about the love the Lord has given us and brought us out of our own land of Egypt, our own bondage with Satan in our days. And we're going to praise the Lord for the things he's done and he continues to do in our lives. And we're going to bless the Lord for the goodness that he's brought on us, and he showers on us, and he keeps us, and we are not in Satan's control, and he has no authority and power over us. These are the things that we do as Christians today, and we follow the same path that was set before us back in Israel, even today. That's all I want to say.
Amen. Thank you, Dave. All right, anybody else? So how can we sum this up in just a few words? Is that Claire? Is that Claire?
My come in, come in.
Yeah. Hi, Claire. How you doing?
I'm blessed, Michael. How are you?
I am blessed beyond my wildest dreams, girl.
Amen.
All right. Denny? Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
I just wanted to read, I was, when Dave ended up on that scripture, it's kind of interesting, said in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he will be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it beholdeth him not, neither knoweth. Ye know him, for he abides with you and is in you. I'm reading out of the Numeric Testament. And I thought it was interesting that the Holy Spirit, it is connected, the another comforter that he shall give is connected with, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I'm just bringing that up. I don't know. I haven't thought through the process. I just kind of thought about it. But when I was reading this, if you read this verse 17 in the other translations, even in the American Standard, that verse 17, it says, "The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it beholds him not, neither knoweth. Ye know him, for he abides with you and is in you." And the other translation said, and they say, he abides with you and shall be in you. But the Numeric says, for he abides with you and is in you. Is there a difference there? Is there a difference? Is that saying that the Holy Spirit, the other comforter that the Lord said he would send, and I think we all realize or see this as the baptism of the Holy Spirit or Pentecost, receiving the Spirit of Pentecost, but he's telling his disciples, at least according to the Numeric Bible, that he abides with you and is in you. Does anybody have any light upon that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Before you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, he's with you. Before you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. David explains this. Actually, Rex Verone does too. And when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, he's now in you, right? Rather than just with you, he's inside you and he's setting up home there. The Old Testament prophets, the Holy Spirit was with them. And then when Pentecost came, you were able to receive him in you.
And I have always believed that that is the correct interpretation. So that's why I'm asking, why did Jesus tell the disciples here before Pentecost, if you love me, you will keep my commandments in verse 15, and I will ask the Father and give you another comforter. I think this section, verse 15, is connected, obviously, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but through me. I was thinking of something else. But I guess what I'm thinking is that Jesus was talking to the disciples there before Pentecost when he said, for he abides with you and is in you. And that, I guess that was my question, because that seems to be a little bit contradictory to what I've always believed and what you just said.
Now, what does the numeric say? What does the numeric say?
The numeric says in verse 17, ye know him, for he abides with you and is in you.
Okay. Go ahead, Dave.
When Jesus was there, he was the paraclete or the comforter. But when Jesus left, that's why they needed another comforter. That's why they had to send another comforter, the Holy Spirit. So, Jesus by himself could be there amongst the group, but he didn't have the presence of the Holy Spirit at that time. He could not be amongst everyone at one time, everywhere in the world. That's why he had to leave so that another comforter could come and do that. That was the Holy Spirit that was going to do that. So this be with you and in you was something the Holy Spirit could do. Jesus could be with them. And his spirit could be in them, but he could not be the power of the Holy Spirit because he was that power while he was there. And when he left, they needed that power that left, which was Jesus, in order to continue on. That's why the Holy Spirit had to come to be that other comforter within in them.
Correct. That's how I've always interpreted it and believed it. I've believed it as it says in that verse in all the other translations, he abides with you. And this is Jesus talking to the disciples then. For he abides with you and shall be in you. Meaning that shall be is in the future. When Pentecost, when the giving of the Holy Spirit or the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. However, in the numeric, it doesn't say he shall be in you. He says he is in you. So I don't know if it's a worth spending any time on or whatever. I just caught it that it was different in numeric than it is in the other versions. So
I'll have to get my Jehovah Witness book out and see what it says.
Okay.
I have been derailed.
Yeah, it could be the way that the structure of the numerics is. I'm not sure, Pat. I know that ASB adds, pronoun. Go ahead, Judy.
I see what you're saying is the tense of the word, and I wonder if it's not that he is in you. He's with you and he is in you. That the Holy Spirit was there in them, but the anointing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit or whatever, that anointing of Pentecost that came, that enabled them to do what they did, because I still think they operated in the authority of the name when Jesus sent them out to do his works, and the Spirit was with them. And just like I would think, like in the Old Testament, before the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the old prophets, they had the anointing of the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of Christ, who was doing, speaking. I couldn't be wrong, but that's just what was coming to me as I was listening to you guys and thinking about that, because the Holy Spirit was in them to do what they did, to speak what they did. I think, I don't know. This is kind of what was coming. The Holy Spirit is in them, and he shall be in you, because he is in you. But are you operating in all of the power of the Holy Spirit? That hadn't happened yet. Just my thoughts.
Hey, Malcolm, you want to explain what you got up there? Is that word is that a verb, future, middle, indicative, third person, singular? You want to explain all that?
Yeah, I don't even know what all that stuff means, so don't think I'm too smart. I just got the morphology out of the software I'm using, so that's the morphology. I don't even know what that word means either. Anyways, you can just look up that Greek word, and of course the context would tell you how it's being used. But estai, so whatever that means. Third person is kind of, it's talking about somebody else. Maybe there's somebody here that knows what those words mean.
the word future is what I was looking at. If that word is supposed to be a future word, then is not the word that should be used, right?
Maybe not. I don't know my Greek well enough to really know what the possibilities are there, estai. Obviously, there's different, all the different variations of estai there. Of course, that's the manuscript. That's not the lemma. The lemma is would be come. And coming would be the manuscript form, which is the way it's used in the sentence. I'm coming. Coming would be a manuscript form. The lemma would be come. You know what I mean? So.
Amen.
Okay. I should go back and learn English.
What you got, Dave?
I was going to read the New World Translation just so you can hear it. This is verse 17 of John 14 for them. The Spirit of Truth, which the world cannot receive because it neither sees it nor knows it. So it calls the Holy Spirit it. You know it because it remains with you and is in you. just curious what they teach.
Okay. That cleared it up, I guess. All right, Vanita.
I think Judy and Sue are before me.
Do what?
Oh, well, I was just looking up that word, estai. Okay. And it shows a bunch of different references in different verses, like Matthew 11, and just a lot of different places that word is used, and it's always used as will be and not is. So just as a reference.
Okay. All right. Well, that's something else. Go ahead, Sid.
Okay, now. I was thinking of, the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. That word love there is agape. And if you read all that is what it is, love is patient, love is kind. That also goes along with the fruit of the Spirit. That the first one is the first word on the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then if you read the fruit of the Spirit, it says love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, you know, all those things. And when you connect those two together, it's the same thing. So pretty much. So the way that we can, you know, love the Lord with all our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength is to just gain him, gain his, you know, keep our relationship with him and operate out of his love through us and for others. But we have to learn of him and know him to do that. We can't just say, okay, I'm going to have that agape love. we have to still gain him. It's no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. Then we will definitely have the agape love coming out of us.
Okay. You got something, Judy? Oh, okay. Never mind. Oh, yeah, Denny, go ahead, brother.
It makes me wonder whether at this point in time that they had Christ in them because of the washing of the water of the word. It says that he told them they were clean by the word. If they had the Spirit of Christ in them, but still we're going to be waiting upon the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which would be that empowering that happens in the book of Acts. But they still, that way he could still have the Spirit of God in them, you know, not the empowering Spirit, but they could, with the Spirit, because God is one Spirit, but he's manifested in different ways or in different, because we can have Christ living in us, but yet we still have to receive, you know, we should go on and receive the empowering of the Spirit. And it says in Ephesians 4, there's one Spirit. So it's that, you know, the operating, the progression of how God laid it out there. I was wondering, I'm just saying, could that be what, if they had the Spirit in them, it would be the Spirit of Christ, but then they would go on from there to receive the empowering of the Spirit, because Jesus had to fulfill a work. He had to ascend. He had to present the blood in the heavenly holy of holies. He had to be made Lord and Christ. He had to, he became the he was Lord and he made both Lord and Christ. He became a life-giving Spirit. All that had to happen in heaven after he had died and ascended. And then when he come back down and descended, then, you know, that qualified. And so what he did was he glorified humanity. He was glorified by Spirit, soul, and body in the heavens. But now, you know, I'm just wondering, you know, I think that he had a work to do. So they probably had the Spirit in them, would be the Spirit of Christ, but they still didn't have the empowering yet. Just throw that thought out.
Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, David.
I'm looking at when Jesus gave that commandment about John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. You'll keep my commandments. But he also says, you know, I keep this in thought in mind. He said in Luke 17:10, even so, you also, when you shall have done all the things that are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is only our duty to do. I mean, sometimes even, you know, we don't really raise the level of Jesus. We can maybe do some of the works of Jesus, but I don't think we're ever going to be at that level of Jesus was, that walk and talk. I mean, I'm not saying some people can't. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I'm not going there. But, you know, I look at some of the things that, you know, we've done in our life, and we've served the Lord, and we always thought, well, it just seems like there could have been something done a little better. You know, it seems like you just know you didn't quite nail it. You were close, but it just wasn't that highest level it could be. And I just think that, you know, as servants, we're doing the best we can and doing what we are. We're commanded the best we are. And even though we're being led by the Holy Spirit, there's that part of us that's still, it's just the flesh part of us that doesn't just reach that total perfection yet, it seems to me. So when we can say we're unprofitable, I mean, even then we're doing what was asked of us to do. You know, and you know, Michael, if you got something else you want to say, I'm not throwing us down and throwing us under the bus, but at the same time, I feel like he kind of gives us a little bit of a leeway there, that we don't have to have that everything just perfectly right, because we probably can't get it perfectly right. We're not going to always just nail it. But as long as we're doing the best we can, you know, and we're walking in the obedience that we have, the best we can, and we're still submitting to the Lord and knowing it's not us that's doing it, it's the Lord and his righteousness that kind of takes the pressure off me, knowing it's not just have to be me doing everything just perfect, you know.
Yeah. Well, you're exactly right. It's not you, it's not us doing it, it's God doing it in us. But I believe that you're going to see people walking just like Jesus when this man-child anointing comes, because he's going to give you the wherewithal, the power to do just like Jesus did, and that is, I don't do anything but what my Father tells me to do. That man-child ministry is going to be done the works of Jesus. He's going to be listening all the time. And he's going to walk just like Jesus did. He's going to walk exactly in his shoes. And I agree that, you know, it's where we are right now, where I am right now. And let me just talk about Michael. Where I am right now, you know, it doesn't seem possible. But I don't look at my own attributes as someone that can overcome, because I know better. It has to be God doing it in me. And when I believe that God's doing it in me, he's doing it in me. And so that's where we have to believe that he is doing it in us. And let me see what Pat wants. Go ahead, Pat.
I was listening to what you said there, and it kind of, what I was thinking is that I was looking at the pattern, and what Jesus is doing here, talking to his disciples, basically saying, I have to go away it's expedient that I go away. I was looking for those verses and I couldn't find them. But because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit won't come. And so what I was thinking here is, so there's a pattern here for obviously this happened then, Jesus saying basically, I need to leave. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another comforter that he will be with you forever. And of course, we realize that that culminated in the Acts 1:8, giving of the power of the Holy Spirit to minister the life of Christ to the world, salvation, the gospel. And I guess what I'm thinking is, if that is a pattern, will that pattern repeat? That's one thought. Are we going to see a pattern of that repeat? Now, we've all been filled with the Holy Spirit. We've all received the Holy Spirit. So how does that apply to us now? I just throw that question out there just to, you know, ponder that and think about that. The other thing is, there is the aspect of when Jesus was there with them and was teaching them and demonstrating and doing this whole thing then with them. But when he left, now all of a sudden the weight of that work fell on the disciples. It fell on them. The weight of it was there. Now, I'm sure they didn't realize what the Lord had done, had given them. And it needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit to get them through themselves and into Christ, or however you want to put it. But that would have never happened if Jesus would still be there carrying the weight, and he's always there where they could come and ask him, hey, you know, what gives here? Why weren't we able to cast this demon out, or whatever it is? He's no longer around in physical presence. Now it's all on the disciples. It's their baby now. They have to make this thing work. So there's kind of a shifting of responsibility that is taking place there as well. So I think there's a couple different aspects, but so I don't know how I got down that path, but so I'll just let it set it there. I probably stirred the pot enough.
Well, just like you asked, where is that pattern? We study Jesus, that's the pattern. When you study Jesus, you find out that he prayed a lot. You find out that he talked to the Father a lot. You find out that he understands Scripture because he studied Scripture. And that's exactly what he wants us to do. Now, I know that I get distracted. I don't know about y'all. I just had to talk about Michael. I get distracted. And we shouldn't allow distractions to come in, because like we talked about earlier, a distraction is an idol, in my estimation, because that's our flesh drawing us away from the Word. So I'm just going to throw that out there. Babe, did you have something?
No, I was just putting myself on a cross when you said that.
Yeah, me too, brother. Anybody else? you're going to, I believe that you're going to see, we're going to see men walking around in such power and such wisdom and such authority, they're going to look like Jesus. And you're going to wonder, my gracious, I believe that. I do. And there's actually, David teaches about a second round of man-child coming up also. And that'll be awesome. Now, they talks about 144,000. Is that, if that's going to be the man-child, we don't know. It might be a spiritual number, or it might be an actual number. Sounds, you know, I don't know. We'll see as far as that goes. But I do believe that he's going to walk just like Jesus. He's going to have the wisdom. He's going to have the discernment. He's going to have the gifts. And he's going to do it just like Jesus did. He's going to say, now go on, you've been healed, and repent. that kind of stuff, you know, instead of in the name of Jesus. No, he's just going to speak it. Just going to speak it and say, just go on now, you're healed. Or whatever, you know, whatever comes out. It's not going to be some theatrical little deal like that. Go ahead, Malcolm. Malcolm's got the answer. Here we go.
I have all the answers. Just ask me. No, I just found ever since you sent out that video from Timothy, is it Dixon? I don't even know his name yet. I'm trying to figure out all this stuff, but
Timothy Dixon.
He just had, yeah, he had a vision, a dream, or whatever. I think it was today, and he said he was up on a kind of a plateau on the top of a pinnacle or something on this mountain or something. And there were 12 men, 11 other men with him. And this this person that glowed in front of him, he said later he found out it was Jesus. But he led all these 12 men, including himself, down the mountain and showed him all this, you know, what led him around to all these people all around the country very quickly. And showed him what America would have been like if God had not stepped in and stopped this whole thing by putting Trump back in and all that. But I thought to my, and he said, I don't know what the 12 thing is all about. And I thought, ha ha. and it did make me wonder, you know, obviously it's a dream and so it's symbolic, but I just wondered if he might be among, there might be some indication that he might be among the men, man-childs or whatever. And he said he still didn't know. He's praying about that number. He says he doesn't know what that means. So, and the other thing he was saying was that is we're coming to a time when people, the people representing God on the earth say something, it happens instantly. There's no delay at all. So just very interesting. I'm trying to figure this guy out, but he really seems the real deal. So, I mean, you always have to use discernment of spirits and all those things, but I'm really impressed.
I don't think Timothy has a knowledge of the man-child ministry.
No, he clearly didn't.
Yeah.
And, but he gets jiving. Go ahead.
And he gets a little bit confused when he sees that. Yeah. It's like the white horse rider going around the world, and then it turned and went around the world this way, you know. He didn't understand what that, well, that's Jesus. I mean, that's the man-child ministry, Jesus, man-child, doing that. Spreading the gospel all over the world.
You know what's so cool about this is so many people are seeing stuff, and it's jiving. But a lot of them don't even know what it means.
Yeah.
I think that's incredible.
Yeah. Amen, Vanita. Amen. Okay. Yeah, it's just exciting times that we're coming into. I believe, David and I were talking about this the other day. Kind of believe that Cyrus, when he gets anointed as president, what do you think about the man-child being anointed at that time? Whew, glory to God. Won't that be awesome? My goodness. Because we're going to need wisdom during this next little bit. Go ahead, Pat.
So I'm kicking this, I guess this is shoving me down a path here, but I'm kicking this around now because I'm looking at the thinking of the pattern there again. And when you say the man-child anointed, I'm sitting here looking at Acts 1:4, and it said, "Do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which ye heard from me." Because John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days hence. And then in verse 7 it said, well, in verse 8 it says, "But ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth." Is this, obviously this has already happened and already initiated the church, already fell upon the disciples, but is there a repeat of this in type for the man-child ministry? Is this the anointing that you're talking about, Michael?
Are you talking
coming in the future? I'm sorry.
Yeah, the latter rain, the latter day rain, is the anointing for the man-child ministry. It's only for the man-child ministry at the present, at the beginning. The former rain is already here. They did that at Pentecost. But the latter day rain is the anointing for the man-child ministry. It talks about in, somebody help me. Sue Gilbert's got it.
Joel, it's Joel.
Joel what?
Talks about the early and the latter rain.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joel, Joel 2:2. Yeah, and he has poured down for you the rain, the early and latter rain as before. The threshing, the floors will be full of grain and the vats will be overflow with a new wine and oil. The early and latter rain.
Yep.
As 23 and 24.
Yep.
Of Joel 2.
Oh. Did that answer your question, Pat?
I don't know that I have a question. it's okay. I just don't have the answer. I wish I had the question.
So. Well, that's the teaching that it's in hidden manna.
Mm-hmm.
You might be able to go back into there and see that as far as the man-child goes. He's also got a book called The Man-Child and the Bride, something about the man-child and the bride. It's probably be in there as well. Yeah. But that latter-day anointing goes to the man-child. The former rain, I believe the Lord is going to anoint the bride with that. to its fullest. So we'll see. But the man child will walk just like Jesus on this earth. That's pretty obvious. He's going to be riding that white horse, spreading the gospel, bringing justice. Go ahead, Dave.
Oh, just, you know, thinking about the timings, you know, when it happens. There's going to be probably a great earthquake first. And after the great earthquake, then we'll start seeing this stuff show up, man-child and man-child ministry and all that. But prior to that, I'm assuming, and we're probably seeing some of that a little bit today, would be the Elijah ministry, the repentance, the preaching of repentance. And I imagine the man-child also.
That's going on now. The Elijah ministry is going on now.
And if it's anything like the scriptures, that will still be continued with a man-child, because that's what Jesus did. Yep. His speech, you know, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So,
yep. Repent and believe. Go ahead, Malcolm. You may begin. Malcolm, you just, okay, there you go.
Oh, rat. Oh, yeah. Okay, I toggled the wrong mute button. Okay. I have two, so I got to figure. Okay, so what I think was so compelling is that so many, those who are willing to listen to prophetic, whether they're prophetic things or dreams or visions or whatever, my circle of friends and people, family members and whatnot, they have no time for anything like that. They'll say things like, well, we know how it's all going to end, and then they plow on with all this stuff. But when it comes to any kind of revelations, they have no interest in that, because they already have the truth. So it's kind of frustrating to see all this stuff going on and deadlines coming and can't really say anything. Of course, you can talk to the Lord about it and let the Lord deal with them, you know. But anyway, it's what an advantage, though, to be able to hear, to have such a correspondence among so many of God's people right now. It just seems to be a lot of people coming together that don't really know maybe all aspects of all these different truths, but there's a more and more of a correspondence. I think that's pretty cool. And just the fact that God can reveal these things, and I like what I think you said, Michael, that David got a word from the Lord to not pay much attention to the news or something. And he was going to be the news. The Lord would give the news. And I was thinking, that's so right, because if you look at any of the secular news out there, it's, you know, it's all doom and gloom or kind of in the here and now, and there's no reference to all these major things that are maybe coming this month or whenever it happens. But I mean, it's so encouraging to hear from God's perspective compared to man's total depressing gloom and doom, you know.
Amen. Go ahead, Pat.
I think one of the things, I don't know what David did I don't know if he commanded something about watching the news or all that, but I'll tell you what, my whole desire, I don't know what happened, but my whole desire to even listened to any of that stuff, totally went. I mean, it just, it went away. And the thing, even listening, if you even try to listen to, say, a conservative show or something on TV, well, they've still missed the context of everything. They're still functioning as if Biden is the president, and they're just going on, like standard procedure, And it's so you can't really watch it because it's like, you know that that's a dead end. There's no future in that. I mean, they don't even have a clue what's going on. So there's no sense of even wasting your time, in that direction. But I thought it was just kind of interesting because I used to be a news junkie. That's why I'd come home and, go from one news show to the next or whatever it would be. And it is gone. It's kind of amazing in a way. But anyway, thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Lord, for taking that out, Pat, and everybody else. Yeah, sweet deliverance. Amen. Yeah, he got a word from the Lord for us to quit being news junkies and start being Jesus junkies. Keeping our eyes on him. And it'll pay off in the long run. I guarantee you, it'll pay off in the long run. All right. Anybody else? Go ahead, Adelina. She had her hand raised there for a minute. All right. Anybody else? Got any more you want to add to this? Is Theo in yet, Lana?
Sorry, no, not for another hour.
Oh, okay. All right. That's no problem. Okay. What do y'all want to talk about now? Why? I got a question. Why did God make man? Just a simple question.
He needed something to laugh about.
Amen, brother. That's exactly right. Yep, he sure did. Yep, yep.
The Lord gave me a kind of an example of that quite a few years ago, because I asked him the same thing. Why did you, do that and prepare to go through all kinds of hell for the last 6,000 years? Why did you want to do that? And he gave me a picture of if you had everything that you could possibly want, you're going to be placed out on a deserted island in the middle of the ocean, and you can have anything that you want. You can for the rest of your life, and if you had a time, if you really sit down and thought about it, would you order up a 150 million movies or video games or computers, or you can think of all the different toys that you could probably have. But if you could, if you thought about that long enough, sooner or later you would exhaust all those. It's just in thinking of them, and that what you would probably end up choosing is another human being. Because another human being is the only thing that can provide communication, fellowship, is the only thing that can respond back to you in totally independent views, independent ways, or whatever. And I thought of that scripture that is, I don't even know where it's at, and I think it's in Ephesians, where God wants to give us himself for the rest of eternity. And he created us a people that he could bring into the place of being able to have perfect fellowship with God. And I believe that's what he showed me about why he created man, because he wanted to give himself to others. You know, so that's kind of what he showed me.
Amen. That's a good analogy. Anyone else? Yeah, Paula, go ahead.
I asked Dirk in this week, I asked the same question, because I wanted to know, why couldn't the Lord have that fellowship that he wanted with angels? And we know that that man had to fall, and he had to know good and evil, and to be sanctified from the evil. But for that matter, then, you know, why couldn't it happen with the fallen angels? You know, they knew good, and then they knew evil. Why couldn't they be redeemed? Why did the Lord need to create man? You know, these earthen vessels. And I still wonder about it. Still wonder why man?
I'm sorry, I'm muted. Go ahead, Julie.
Thanks, Michael. But the angels don't have like a soul, a heart, emotions, that kind of thing. Like that scripture, I think it's in 1 Peter that talks about even the angels long to look into these things that, you know, the grace is bestowed upon man that God gave us, and he made man in his image. Well, you know, God is, you know, he's a spirit. But, you know, he created man with a heart, you know, that mind, that will, that emotional thing. I don't know that the angels have like the emotional thing and can feel love or that kind of thing, you know what I mean? So it's like he made us to be like him. It's a deep question. I mean, God's gonna have to show us each, you know, in that personal way. It's like, why did you make me? Why am I here? And I just still think it's because he loves us. You know, he loves and he is love, and he wants us to know love. He wants us to have that same kind of love that Jesus had with his Father, you know, that one intimacy of the Spirit that you only would have with him. I don't think the angels would have that. You know, it's just the closeness and being able to have fellowship with God. They are created to worship and serve, but we're created to be sons. You know, there's a difference in the whole relationship thing. It's just thought that was coming to me about that.
Amen. Go ahead, Greg.
Well, I had a thought a little while ago, and maybe this might relate to something what Julie was saying, but when God created, you know, the whole box and dice, and, you know, and man was the last thing he did, next to last thing, kind of, he said it's not good for man to be alone. And I'm just wondering, this is the thought, because then he put the jewel in the crown, right, along with Eve. If it wasn't good for man to be alone, I'm wondering if that's a shadow of, you know, of us as the bride of Christ. In it wasn't good for him to be alone. Just something to that ponder on. I don't think we're ever going to get to the bottom of this question, you know. But it's it's got to be something, you know, like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Go ahead, Malcolm. You may begin by unmuting.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Pound six didn't work for the first time in my life. Anyway, Psalms 8. I mean, we know all these songs, Psalms, but Psalms 8. Mind if I just read some of that?
Sure.
Maybe I should ask for an answer. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that thou visitest him, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. I think that's part of what we're learning here. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And then, of course, Psalms 144. O Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Of course, Hebrews 2:6 is also quoting Psalms 8. It's a pretty humbling and very exciting revelation. That God, we're such a big deal to God that he would send Jesus to also be a man and then have to go through the most tremendous stuff at the hands of his own people. Have to endure all that. And now he's reigning big time. And it's just awesome, absolutely awesome.
Go ahead, Sue.
You know, in the beginning, he made all the creatures, everything he made, you know, the plants, the creatures, and he told them they made them after their own kind. And he said it was good. And I was thinking, I would think that he would want to have sons and daughters that were like him, of his kind. And because he had Jesus, but he probably wanted more than just one son. that's basically what I kind of think, that sons and daughters, he wanted them after his kind. Like, these are my children. You know, and he said to all the animals to be fruitful and multiply. And he said to man, be fruitful and multiply. What father doesn't want children? Anyway, that's my thought.
Okay. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, God was eternal past. What did he have with him back then? Everything was inside him when he decided to have his time there with mankind for 7,000 years. But what happens after this, the great white throne, eternity again. So I think he's going to have lots of company then. You know, it's the same thing the girls just said, you know, lots of company, you know, he's going to want to show us things, I guess, in eternity. You know, he's going to have someone to fellowship with forever, whatever that means. Like the morning of the eighth day, you know, like he's going to do the great white throne judgment. And eternity is after that. So is it going to be different from when he didn't create everything yet? Because it was all within him. Then he created it all. He spoke it all into existence through his son, Jesus, I would assume. And now, after everything's done, he's going to have what he wanted. That's, you know.
Okay. Go ahead, Lana.
I just remember from when I read Odin Hetrick's book on heaven, and I remember him talking about how everybody there is led of the spirit. And sometimes the spirit calls you to go to the great white throne to dance and worship the Lord. And it's a great honor to be part of this procession, because a lot of times that's what it is. And I think to myself that the Lord, and the word obviously speaks about this a lot, that he wanted willing worshipers. Angels and other beings can be created to just automatically worship the Lord. But by creating us and putting us in earthen vessels and giving us his spirit as a guide, and then sacrificing his son for us, we have every reason to come forward willingly and give him adoration and worship from the bottom most part of our heart, our soul, our everything. And that's what the Lord wanted. He wanted us to give ourselves to him with love and adoration from the bottom most part of our being. And that's what he's ultimately going to get now.
Amen. Okay, Paula, go ahead.
Maybe he also needed creatures that can match his humility. Maybe that is why these earthen vessels, you know, if you look at what you've been reading from Andrew Murray, Michael, and that humility is such a characteristic of God, you know, it's, then maybe he needed to make the earthen vessels to match his humility and have fellowship that way.
I believe that, and that's where I got the inspiration for the question. And Andrew Murray does a great job of explaining it. And we can continue this next Tuesday. What is today? This is Thursday, isn't it? I think it's Thursday.
Yeah.
Over here. Okay. Well, Lord, we thank you so much for leading us and guiding us tonight. And we thank you, Father, for helping us out and answering these questions. And we thank you, Lord, for being with us over the weekend. Lord, we just thank you for these great happenings that's fixing to transpire on this earth. And Father, I ask for your protection upon everybody here and everybody listening, all of your chosen, Lord, in the days ahead, because I think things are fixing to ramp up here. I see all these earthquakes that are happening now and volcanoes spewing out fire. And Lord, we thank you for protecting your saints and putting them in the right place at the right time. And Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Be with us. Give us a good night's sleep tonight. Wake us up in the morning. I thank you, Lord, that Gano's knees healed and Julie's arm is healed, and all the rest of the prayers have been answered as well in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for the work that you're doing in us. And Lord, place it in our heart to be like Jesus, to study Jesus, to know you can't study him enough, because we need to study every move he made and everything that he did in order to understand what you want us to be in him. Because you want a son. You want somebody you can talk to and understand. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, glory to God, glory Amen. To God. Y'all be blessed.